PTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right-side patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show, 21st of May, 2021. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you today?
I'm here.
I know, that's what I feel like today, too.
You know, I'm here. Can't really go much further than that.
No, there's just something. I don't know what it is, if it's the high pollen count today or the fact that it's so windy here in South Florida, but, you know, I'm like having trouble keeping my eyes open.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it seems like it's been an awfully long day, you know,
yeah.
And, but, you know, look, here we are, and we've got a good show. We've got a lot of stuff to cover
yes,
tonight. Before we get into all of that, you know, I want to take a couple of minutes here. Folks, a week from tonight, you do not want to miss Right Side Patriots next Friday night.
No, it's a special kind of show.
We haven't really stuck a name on it yet, but we will. And it is going to be kind of a special report type of show. Coming up next month, the Pentagon is supposed to be releasing a bunch of UFO files and UFO information.
Yes.
So given all that, and Diane and I being space geeks and following this stuff, not just, you know, the SpaceX and the NASA and the Mars missions, you know, we follow everything space related and have for the better part of our lives. I mean, I know I've been following space stuff since I was a little kid.
Me too. And we'll get into personal stories that Craig and I have about that next week.
And a lot more. It's going to be a very interesting show. Not going to be a lot of politics involved in it, because we're going to really focus the whole show on what's supposed to be coming up from the Pentagon next month, and right, and some different observations and different thoughts, and like Diane said, some personal stories and things. So it's going to be a fascinating show. That's a week from tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here on Right Side Patriots, RSPRadio1.com. Do not miss it.
Right, and especially, folks, it's going to be totally unscripted.
We're just going to have a chat.
Yes.
We're just going to have a chat. Now, tonight, coming up a little less than an hour from right now, I'm talking about the great reparation revelation.
Yes.
Okay, a lot of talk about paying reparations for slavery. The great reparation revelation. Diane, in a little less than 30 minutes, about 25 minutes from now, you're going to be talking about a red line crossed consequences to pay. That is all dealing with what's happening in the Middle East, specifically Israel, between Israel and Hamas.
Right. And I published my article mere hours before a ceasefire was announced. Well, folks, you need to know that there's already trouble in Jerusalem. I personally don't expect this ceasefire to last very long.
Yeah, and, yeah. I wish you could see my shocked face.
I know. I know. I mean, really, Bibi needs to go in and do what needs to be done.
Well, and speaking of the ceasefire, let's start there in the quick hitters. Biden tried to usurp credit from Egypt for the ceasefire. Mm-hmm. Egypt is the one that brokered this ceasefire for however long it lasts or however little long it lasts. You know, Egypt is the one that managed to get this done. That's El-Sisi. But Biden, he ran up to a podium and he tried to suck up all the credit.
Right. He actually said over the last 11 days, I spoke with the prime minister 6 times. I've also spoken with President Abbas and the Palestinian Authority more than once. And part of our intense diplomatic engagement. Well, you know what? Bibi brushed him off and so did Abbas. So there's not much credence to what he said. This was strictly Egypt. Remember, Egypt is also on the border with Gaza, and they have their own problems with them. And it was starting to spill over into Egypt.
Right, and Egypt doesn't want to put up with that crap, and I can't blame them. You know, no. But Biden, he not only did he try to take credit for it, he started naming off members of his cabinet that had something to do with it. None of them had anything to do with it.
Nothing. Nothing. Egypt brokered the ceasefire, not the U.S. That's the way it is, folks. Bibi actually blew Biden off. He knows Biden, he might say Israel has a right to defend herself, but then in the next breath, he caves to the squad. Bibi is not Israel. I mean, Biden is not Israel's friend.
No, not even close. You know, no. And my guess is, you know, when he says, well, you know, I talked to Prime Minister Netanyahu and I talked to Mahmoud Abbas, you know, that could have been, hey, this is Joe Biden, and them going, go away, and hanging up. That could be talking to.
Exactly. Well, you know what's even worse about this? Biden has now pledged to replenish Israel's Iron Dome system and said that the U.S. will work with the U.N. and others to rebuild Gaza. But he emphasized that they would work with the Palestinian Authority, not Hamas. Hey, Joe, guess what? It's not the United States' responsibility to rebuild a terrorist state, nor do you work with the Palestinian Authority, because they are maybe one step below the danger that Hamas is. America doesn't work with terrorists, period. I think, you know, when he was getting his presidential training, I think he forgot that important lesson.
I don't think he cares.
That's true.
I mean, you got Rashida Tlaib, whose grandmother is quote unquote Palestinian, right? Mm-hmm. Tlaib and Omar and AOC and Presley and that whole group, they're the ones that are putting pressure on Biden. You got to rebuild Gaza. Biden doesn't even know where Israel is.
True, but never mind that. Gaza was crap hole before this bombing even started. The Palestinians are useless. That's why their own Arab brethren don't take them in. They have nothing to offer.
Nothing. Nothing but trouble.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So Biden can... he can try to suck up all the credit he wants, but the rest of the world knows better.
Absolutely.
Remember that Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, his name's Lohmeyer, the one that got in trouble for talking about critical race theory and Marxism in the military. He was part of Space Force, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, he got in trouble about a week ago. He lost his Space Force position. He didn't get demoted. He still has the lieutenant colonel rank, but he got reassigned. Okay, he's taken out of his command position and reassigned to something else. Well, turns out now that the Air Force Inspector General is getting involved in the investigation into it, because apparently it looks like Lohmeyer might be right about all this and never should have been removed from his command position.
Right. In fact, he's received votes of confidence from thousands of troops, from the Air Force, from all branches of our military.
And one of the things,
this whole thing, you know, everything with these people is race, 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 race. Well, you know, keep it up and you're going to create more racists.
Well, they already are. But I think one of the things the IG, Inspector General, is going to be looking at is, was removing Lohmeyer from his command at Space Force, was that or was that not a political move? And obviously it was.
Of course. Of course. Because, you know, many Republicans are demanding that he actually be reinstated to his post in Space Force and that he be considered a hero for speaking out against this nonsense.
Well, decidedly anti-American nonsense.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to be interesting to follow this case and see where this goes. I do not expect anything to happen rapidly. It never does when you get an IG involved in anything. Right. But as I understand it, the IG looking into it, his investigation actually takes precedence over any other investigation.
I wonder if this Air Force IG, wonder what party he belongs to.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know. I don't know that we can find out, but it would be interesting to know.
It would be. I think it would be. And this whole thing is absolutely ridiculous, because this whole critical race theory, it attacks America itself. It attacks our founding documents, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. It's just political nonsense.
It is.
And I'm going to get into all of it in my article for Tuesday.
It's all BS.
Yes.
I mean, when you break it right down, it's all BS. Lohmeyer should be put up on a pedestal. I mean, this guy should
absolutely
be applauded for stepping up, standing up, and saying, look, we can't have this in the military. This is not what we as members of the military are supposed to be doing. He's absolutely right.
100% right. 100% right. And hopefully the IG will use some common sense. You know, that's asking a lot if he's got a D next to his name, but hopefully he'll use some common sense and understand we have to stop catering to these people and these wild theories.
Well, and I'm guessing this is matriculating its way through the entire military, because right now, you know, earlier this week on Tuesday, I did a piece on the CIA where I was kind of jabbing my finger in their eye, right? Because they're now woke. Well, I just saw the latest Army recruiting video and it's woke.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too. And the military, I'm sorry, this is not the American military that we know. This is not the American military that was proud to serve under President Trump. This is, I don't know what. I really don't know what anymore.
You know, the military has a very specific job. Okay, yeah. They kill people and they break things. I mean, that's the way Rush Limbaugh used to put it.
Right.
You know, and Rush was absolutely right. That's the job of the military. The job of the military is not to try not offending anybody in the process.
Well, that's, you know, Obama's, you know, we got to make friends with them and make nice. But, you know, also, I think a lot of this right now is current news because Biden is pulling out completely from Afghanistan. And right. What that does is leave a vacuum in the Middle East.
Hello, that's the Obama
doctrine. Bad guys to come in and take over.
That's the Obama doctrine. You create a vacuum of power in the Middle East to be filled by terrorists.
Exactly. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we know who's running.
Get caught right in it.
We know who's running the show, and it ain't Biden.
No, let's tell the truth. It's Obama.
Step by step by step, everything you see happening, it's got Obama's DNA and fingerprints and saliva all over it.
Exactly. And it's only going to get worse.
Yep. Over in Iowa, next door to me, not so much next door to Diane, but, you know, Iowa's the next state to the right for me. Mm-hmm. And they have passed literally the nation's strongest anti-mask laws. And Democrats are losing their minds. The liberals are absolutely going berserk over this. But according to the law, this isn't a recommendation. It's not some mandate on paper. This is now a law in Iowa. You will not be required to wear masks or lock down, not only for COVID-19, but for any disease that comes along.
Kudos to their governor, Kim Reynolds, for doing this. It's very similar, a little bit stronger, but very similar to what we have here in Florida. This needs to catch fire across the country. This whole nonsense has destroyed our country and our hope of coming back through a second term of President Trump has been dashed. We can't take 4 years of this mask nonsense.
Well, and there's no let up on this. You know, just a couple of days ago, we were talking about, you know, the CDC came out and said, well, you know what? If you're vaccinated, I guess you don't have to wear a mask. Well, that was like 2 days ago. Today, they're saying, well, you know, we may not be completely right about that, and we may have to reverse it. Well, I mean, come on.
Right. And by the way, a little something about the COVID shots. I just heard from a friend of mine who now has COVID. The only people she was around in the past week were two friends who were vaccinated.
Well, there you go.
Says a lot, doesn't it? That's why I keep saying no jab for me.
Well, it's pointless. It's pointless.
It's all pointless. This disease, COVID, would eventually just, you know, temper down on its own like the Spanish flu did as herd immunity started to kick in. All of this, I really believe, was for nothing.
I fully agree with you, but I got to throw this in. Okay. There's some Chinese American group. That has now officially filed a civil lawsuit against President Trump for calling it the China virus.
Oh, please give me a break. It originated in China.
Well, but you know, you call it the China virus, and according to this group of yahoos, or Wuhans, whatever you want to call them, you call it the China virus when you know, President of the United States refers to it as the China virus. Well, that not only offends the Chinese Americans, but it also oppresses the Chinese Americans.
Well, I guess we will be named part of it because we've been calling it the China virus from day one.
That's right. I mean,
it originated there. That we don't call it the Chinese people's virus. You can't blame the people. We call it the China virus because it originated in their labs in Wuhan.
I wouldn't be surprised that the Spaniards are the next ones to sue because back, you know, 100 years ago, we called it the Spanish flu.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, this is nonsense. And any court that would take up a case like this should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree. It's stupid. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, this is fascinating. A judge in Georgia has now called for an emergency election audit. Now, let me tell you what this judge found out and why this judge called for an emergency election audit for 2020. Apparently, and I know, folks, I know this is going to come as a shock to so many of you. You'll probably just about fall over from shock, you know. And if you do, and you hit your head, Diana and I are not liable. Okay, this is your warning. Sit down, because this is stunning, staggering news. Apparently, the number of ballots that were actually run through the machines are different than the number of ballots that showed up on the count of ballots. In other words, it seems like perhaps tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of ballots were run through the machines more than once.
Actually, twice out of all of them, there's a 21%. 21%, that's a big number, folks, between the number of ballot batches reported by the Georgia Secretary of State, who certified the election, and the number of ballot batches actually provided by court-ordered access in the April, remember, in the April hearing in the case. In other words, what they're saying is that a high number of ballots appear to have been counted twice.
Let's boil it down to numbers everybody can wrap their heads around, okay? Let's just say that the Secretary of State reported that they had 100 ballots, okay? Mm-hmm. We tallied 100 votes, and then the officials say, well, turn over the batch files, and they do, and there's only 80 votes. That means 21 out of the 100 got run through twice.
Right.
Now, extrapolate that out for the entire state of Georgia. Crap.
What's more amazing is we all know voter fraud was committed. And the courts know voter fraud was committed. Anyone with a working brain cell knows voter fraud was committed. If it can be proven in Georgia, I bet that Arizona and some other states follow suit and go through with their investigations. What's going to happen when they find out we were all right and Trump actually won and those two Georgia senators lost?
You know what?
What's going to happen then? What should happen is Biden and Cruz should be thrown in jail.
Well, they should be. But here's the thing.
That's what should be happening. But what is going to happen? Is the element going to act up?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely,
they'll act up. They're going to blame it all on Trump, and it's just a massive conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely they're going to act up, and you know damn well they will. The BLM, the Antifa sorts, the ones making all the noise, causing all the trouble. Absolutely they'll act up. They'll go to war in the streets. We know that. But we also know that Arizona is in the middle of an audit right now, so they are looking into those types of allegations. They are trying to match batches to numbers and numbers to batches and, you know, all of that kind of thing. You know, now Georgia is involved. What about Michigan? Is Michigan going to get involved in this?
I think all the states where, you know, there was funny business going on, I think if they have any Republicans anywhere in their election offices, I think they're going to push for recounts and investigations and everything else. And what's really funny is a lot of Democrats, mainstream Democrats, not the, you know, uber progressive side, but mainstream Kennedy type Democrats, I bet are having buyer's remorse.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, but, you know, will they speak up? That's the problem.
Well, every time gas goes up, they get angrier and angrier.
Well, you know, maybe they could buy one of those new electric Ford F-150s. Now, here's what I heard about those. And this ought to keep them from complaining, you know. It'll go 300 miles on a charge, right?
Yeah.
But then to recharge it, it takes 14 hours.
I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Look, as I understand it...
So are the Democrats, so, you know, it goes hand in hand.
As I understand it, in Atlanta, they actually have election night security video footage where you can actually see somebody, and this would be a Dominion person, okay?
Right.
They feed the ballots into the machine. They go in one end of the machine. They come out the other. You can actually see a Dominion person going to the back of the machine, taking the ballots that have been counted, bringing them around to the front, and running them again.
Well, isn't Georgia also the same state where they caught election workers actually changing ballots?
Yeah. Yep. They're filling out ballots.
And you know whose fault this really is? The Supreme Court for not taking the case. Clarence Thomas wanted to hear the evidence. And he, and I believe it was Alito, they got overruled.
Yep.
By Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh. Three disgraces, as far as I'm concerned.
It's obviously something we're going to have to keep an eye on. We may know more about it come Tuesday, at least as far as the Atlanta thing. You know, what the process of the audit is going to be. The audit's going to take time. Audits do. It's not an overnight deal. You know, especially, you know, this judge is saying an emergency election audit for the state. You know, in Arizona, it's Maricopa County. Now they're talking about an entire state.
Right.
Which could maybe
have an effect on the Senate races.
Absolutely, it could. So we'll keep an eye on all that. Now, again, next Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here on Right Side Patriots, RSPRadio1.com, Diane and I are taking on, in conversation, it's a total talk show, it's going to last an hour, the Pentagon report that's supposed to come out sometime in the month of June regarding UFO phenomenon over the United States.
Right. And we're not going to talk wild conspiracy theories. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Everything we're going to say has documented evidence to back it up.
We'll talk about some of our own personal experiences. We'll talk about things that we have found in various research and what to expect when this Pentagon report comes out. We'll cover all of that in a special one-hour report next Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here at rspradio1.com, Right Side Patriots. With that, coming up in 30 minutes, I'm talking about the great reparation revelation. But when we get back from the bottom of the hour station ID break, Diane's got it, talking about the situation with Israel and Hamas, a red line cross, consequences to pay. So folks, hang on. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're
listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show. I don't know what I mean to say it. Friday night edition of the show. And if you miss any part of it, you can always go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning, click on the podcast, and there will be right up at the top.
Yes.
All right, Diane, there's been a little kerfluffle between Israel and the terrorists of Hamas that are hiding out in Gaza. And you've decided to do a little bit of looking into this because there is, honestly, a lot more to this than what most people know. Fill us in.
Now, remember also, folks, that I published this just a few hours before the ceasefire went into effect. Okay, as the drums of coming war beat louder by the day, violence between Israel and Hamas grows more intense. As Hamas keeps firing rockets into Israel, leading Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to state that Hamas crossed a red line when they launched missiles towards Jerusalem, and that the fighting could continue for some time. And Hamas's response to Netanyahu was that they would continue their rocket attacks until Israel stops all scenes of terrorism and aggression in Jerusalem and in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Guess Hamas remains ignorant to Israel's military power. But now we find out that they don't. So while altercations between the Israeli military and U.S.-designated terrorist group Hamas have become somewhat of the norm, the latest round of altercations are anything but the norm. What with Hamas rockets now, as I was writing this, still being fired into Israel. But they're not being fired into the usual less populated areas in Israel's south, but into Jerusalem proper, as well as into Tel Aviv, resulting in Israelis having to run to bomb shelters and forcing the shutting down of Ben-Gurion International Airport. And Israel's response to the now largest Palestinian escalation since 2014 was to see the Israeli army launch not only airstrikes into Hamas's military installations, airstrikes that killed several Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad terrorist commanders who cowardly used children as human shields, but also to formulate a broad military campaign, which includes the massing of tanks and troops along the Gaza border, as well as destroying a network of Hamas tunnels dubbed the Metro, tunnels used to transport both equipment and Hamas terrorists. An Israeli response to what should be a well-justified and long-overdue invasion of Gaza, perhaps. An invasion that should, but probably won't, have U.S. support. But what exactly ignited this latest round of tension? It started on two fronts, with the first being a mere warning issued by Hamas's leaders that it would wreak havoc if the Palestinian Authority, which governs the West Bank, canceled what was to be this month's parliamentary elections, the first such election since 2006. And with aging PA President Mahmoud Abbas fearing a loss to Hamas, after polls showed Hamas steadily gaining public favor, Abbas took it upon himself to indefinitely postpone the vote, which made Hamas, to say the least, very unhappy. And this comes in addition to unrest in Jerusalem itself, courtesy of a court case involving land ownership and the potential eviction of several Palestinian families from the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of East Jerusalem, land reclaimed by Jewish settlers after the 67 Yom Kippur War. This led to violent altercations between Palestinians, Hamas militants and mobs, and Israeli security forces, as both Jews and Israeli Arabs, their businesses, homes, and houses of worship, became targets of mob violence. And this Netanyahu declared to be a more dangerous threat than the rockets from Gaza. And the altercations escalated during Ramadan, when Jerusalem police blocked Damascus gate access to a plaza in Jerusalem's old city, and then cracked down on not so peacefully protesting Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the very mosque sitting upon grounds that are the most holy site for the world's Jews. Called the Temple Mount, it's where God's divine presence is proclaimed more than in any place on earth, and where Jews turn it to face when in prayer. So while Hamas plays protector of Jerusalem, and while Jerusalem's old city remains under Israeli control, the Al-Aqsa Mosque itself is, since 1967, under the administration of the Jordanian and Palestinian-led Islamic Waqf. But the fact is that it's the Jews who hold rightful claim to all of Jerusalem, including the Al-Aqsa Mosque site, as they not only reunified the city after said Yom Kippur War, but were here first, many millennia before Islam and its faux god Allah were invented by a man pretending to be a prophet. But to Hamas and their fellow terrorist ilk, the facts don't seem to matter, for it's the Jewish people who remain their prime target, with Israel herself the bullseye. And knowing this has led Defense Minister Benny Gantz to order a massive reinforcement of security forces to suppress the ongoing internal unrest, which has led to that date more than 400 people being arrested as they stoke the fires of an all-out internal civil war. And that means possible trouble for those orbiting said bullseye, a bullseye which now includes numerous Gulf states with whom President Trump brokered peace with Israel. Peace the Biden administration is now jeopardizing. Arab states, which include the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. Thankfully, though, the UAE has now officially come out and condemned Hamas and expressed its support for Israel, with the others hopefully to follow. And the Biden administration itself is under pressure here at home from Jew-hating Democrats like Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and others, as well as from UN human rights advocates who demand and condemn Israel's treatment of the so-called Palestinians, especially treatment regarding its settlement policies they claim have squeezed Palestinians' shrinking territory. And this is never mind that it's Arab countries who have squeezed tiny Israel almost into the sea, nor have they offered to give up any, even a minute portion, of their massive lands for a Palestinian homeland. And Craig, that says a lot, now doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, you know, when you think about it, when it comes to any kind of real estate, the three keys are location, location, and location. So obviously, Israel sitting where it is, and these states around it that have signed peace deals, thanks to President Trump, everybody's kind of in that target zone right now. You've got the situation going on at home, but where is the Democrat Party, the party of liberal Marxists and Jew haters? Where is the Democrat Party sitting in all this? They're not just on the sidelines, are they?
No, they're not. It's actually divided in its support of America's staunchest ally, In fact, Joe Biden, who recently ordered the withdrawal of 120 military personnel from Israel, personnel from Central and European commands, warned Americans against traveling to the region, yet he still voiced support for Israel's right to defend herself. Nor, as I was writing this, did he criticize Israel for what the left says is Israel's disproportionate use of force. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken is playing both sides against each other, stating that there are fundamental differences between a terrorist organization, Hamas, that is indiscriminately raining down rockets, in fact targeting civilians, and Israel's response defending itself that is targeting the terrorists. But those are words appearing on the surface to be a good thing. Nevertheless, they are words somewhat tainted, as Biden sent to the Middle East to help calm things down. I should say Blinken sent to the Middle East to calm things down. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Hadi Amer, an outward supporter of the Palestinian cause, who stated in 2002 that, quote, I was inspired by the Palestinian Intifada. Inspired to do what, I wonder? But hell did freeze over a bit, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that Israel has the right to defend herself against this assault, which is designed to sow terror and undermine prospects of peace. In direct contrast to the ever-vile aforementioned Ilhan Omar, who stated that Israeli airstrikes killing civilians in Gaza is an act of terrorism. Palestinians deserve protection. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as the Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. It's unconscionable to not condemn these attacks on the week of Eid. But what she should have said is not only how unconscionable it is not to condemn a terrorist organizations whose deliberate acts of terrorism perpetrated on Israeli civilians started the march towards war during Islam's Holy Week of Eid, but also how unconscionable it is not to condemn Hamas's deliberate instigation of clashes between protesters in Gaza and Jerusalem that are bringing even more trouble to the already volatile region. And dare we forget disgrace to his Jewish heritage, socialist Bernie Sanders, who tweeted that, once again we are seeing how the irresponsible actions of government-allied white wing extremists in Jerusalem can escalate quickly into devastating war, while making no mention of Hamas's violent actions. And then there's vile Rashida Tlaib, who can always be counted on to show her hatred for Israel, Jews, and for America, addressing the House that we must, with no hesitation, demand that our country recognize the unconditional support of Israel has enabled the ensure of Palestinian life and the denial of the rights of millions of refugees. Basically, what Tlaib did was place blame directly on the U.S. for Hamas's actions. Thankfully, Israel's ambassador to the U.N., Gilad Erdan, put this piece of traitorous garbage in her place by tweeting, Congressman Rashida Tlaib, maybe you should open your eyes to the whole picture. Islam's third holiest site is being used to stockpile Molotov cocktails and rocks that are being lobbed at the police and at Jewish worshippers praying at the Western Wall below the Temple Mount. So well stated by Ambassador Erdan, as is the fact that within the 4 short months since President Trump left office, the very president who not only moved our embassy to Jerusalem, declared that Jerusalem is forever the undivided capital of the Jewish state, and who brought peace between Israel and some of her Arab neighbors, now sees all his hard work basically being for naught. For it took Iranian-backed Hamas terrorists those same 4 months to start a new and even bloodier war, a war that will not end pretty for Hamas, its supporters, or for the Palestinian people. And no current end to the conflict in sight. The build-up to all-out war continues on. And folks, this peace, sort of semi-peace, you know, ceasefire, I don't believe it's going to last long.
No.
In fact, last Saturday before the ceasefire, Joe Biden called Bibi Netanyahu, and he reiterated his support for Israel's right to defend herself, but caved to the Israel haters when he spoke to Bibi about his concerns regarding journalist safety as well. This was in response to Israeli forces leveling the building that housed the offices of major media outlets, including the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. And while the building's occupants were given advance warning and time to evacuate before the building was hit by three Israeli heavy missiles, and while no major injuries or fatalities occurred, Biden still said that Israel must ensure the safety and security of journalists and the independent media, while Al Jazeera's Director General, Dr. Mustafa Soag, claimed Israel was trying to both silence journalists and hide the untold carnage and suffering of the people of Gaza. But, Craig, what's not being told is that the Al Jalah Tower, the building in question, also was home to civilian residential apartments and to Hamas's military intelligence agencies, agencies that Israeli officials said were being used and using civilian occupants as human shields. In fact, Israel shared intelligence with Biden and U.S. officials showing exactly how Hamas was operating inside the tower. And I, for one, believe the Israelis, leaving me to wonder, did the media outlets know or not know about these goings-on? And if so, why did they remain silent? Craig, that's a question that needs to be answered, but probably never will be.
Well, I'll take a shot at answering it. Of course they knew what was going on there. These are supposed to be journalists. Now, if they didn't know what's going on there, they're not journalists, they're urinalists. Okay,
right.
They're not worth what goes into a urinal if they don't know absolutely that Hamas is occupying the very building they're trying to operate out of, for goodness sakes. Okay, so look, this thing went on for 12 days, right? We're in a lull right now. I don't even want to call it a ceasefire. It's more of a lull. So
Especially since there's already trouble going on in Jerusalem.
Well, and we'll get into that here when we get into the discussion end of this thing. But what are the numbers? I mean, both sides are claiming victory, but what are the numbers? What did Hamas actually do, and how successful were they?
Okay, well, as of maybe a day or two ago, 3,750 plus rockets were fired by Hamas into Israeli cities, and not all, unfortunately, were intercepted by the Israeli missile defenses, but 550 of those rockets actually never reached Israel. They fell into the Gaza Strip itself, resulting in Hamas killing their own people. Now, Bibi said, "This is not over yet. We will do everything to restore security to our cities and our people." And those are words of a true statesman longing for peace. But peace, in the end, will still be hard fought. For how can there be peace when Biden admitted that the Abbas-led Palestinian Authority continues to use monetary aid to reward terrorists, Hamas terrorists included, and that back in April, Biden gave $235 million in aid to the Palestinians. And this means that our taxpayer dollars are being used to some extent to help Hamas wage war against Israel. Now, that's really a sickening thought. And as international pressure was building to end the violence, especially when last weekend Israeli aircraft destroyed an underground Hamas military facility and inadvertently killed more than 24 civilians, the fact is that when the enemy attacks Israel from civilian neighborhoods, from schools, homes, offices, and even from hospitals, what's called collateral damage is to be expected. simply. If Hamas didn't want collateral damage, they shouldn't have fired rockets into Israel. Rockets intended to kill Israeli civilians and world leaders should be condemning Hamas and not Israel. And also last weekend, the UN Security Council met to discuss possible ways to defuse the still what was ongoing conflict, something they're really powerless to do. And while UN Secretary General Guterres voiced his fears that Israel and the Palestinians are headed for an uncontainable crisis, the calls for the ceasefire grew. But it seemed not to matter to most that on Monday, Hamas once again fired rocket barrages into southern Israeli cities, with Israel rightfully launching dozens of retaliatory airstrikes into Gaza. Then late Monday night, it was reported that 6 Grad-type rockets were fired from the Sheba Farms area in southern Lebanon towards Israel. But thankfully, they fell short of their much-intended destination, with the IDF then responding with artillery fire. And with Lebanon being a Hezbollah stronghold, know that more rockets are sure to come. So while Joe Biden still voices his support for Israel's right to defend herself, yesterday, or now, about 2 days ago, he again caved to pressure from the left and in a phone call told Benjamin Netanyahu that he expected a significant de-escalation now as part of a move towards a potential, now in effect, ceasefire. Thankfully, Netanyahu wisely ruled out such an end to the hostilities the way Biden presented them. That is, until Hamas's military infrastructure was destroyed. After all, Hamas is always the one who starts the salvos that, in the end, will lead to an all-out war. But know that if Donald Trump was still president, none of this would be happening. As Israel's enemies knew well that America stood strong and united with Israel, and that reprisal would be fast coming if Israel were to be attacked. And as per President Trump's own words, strength and unity engenders respect. But now, with Israel's enemies having no respect for Joe Biden, his administration, nor for the UN, one can sadly see why the situation today, no matter the ceasefire in place, will spiral out of control. And the only way to permanently end this once and for all is to let Israel take out the garbage in Gaza, then move on to Iran next. For without Iran fueling, paying for, and profiting off all the hate, this nonsense would indeed end.
Absolutely, it would. Folks, this is a great op-ed. There's a lot of facts, a lot of figures, a lot of kind of delving in deep that Diane did here. The title of this is A Red Line Crossed, Consequences to Pay. Two places to find it: thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. You can get the link from either place, and please share it. Now, got to mention a couple of things here. Okay. In right here at the end of the article, you said that, no, if Donald Trump was still president, none of this would be happening, as Israel's enemies knew well that America stood strong and unified with Israel, and you went on with that. Let me illustrate that in the best way I possibly can. Okay, if you look at major Hamas attacks against Israel, you will see that they did one in 2012, they did another one in 2014, and this one in 2021. However, between 2016 and 2020, when Donald Trump was the president, they did nothing. No major attacks against Israel. Why? Because, like Diane just said, they had respect and fear of Donald Trump.
And they knew that Donald Trump would not sit back and let our ally be attacked. But, you know, there's something else here at home that really got me angry. Okay. BLM issued a statement while the killing was going on. And this is a quote. Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with the Palestinians. We are a movement committed to ending settler colonization in all forms, and will continue to advocate for Palestinian liberation. Really?
Oh, kiss mine.
Why don't you bastards stand for Israel's right to exist?
Well,
you're not trouble enough at here at home. You're now going to be butting into another country's issues.
Yeah, well, you know,
BLM itself, in my opinion, is a domestic terrorist organization.
I agree 100%. That's all they are. So it's no great surprise that they're siding with terrorists in another country.
Right, okay? they stick together.
There's no surprise there. Now, you want to know what else did not occur during the Donald Trump presidency? Donald Trump, as the president, pretty much put an end to Hamas and the Palestinian Authority paying people to be terrorists, be martyrs, because Donald Trump said, look, you're doing that, we're not sending you any more money. And he didn't.
And we didn't.
And that put an end to it. But Biden gets his little pasty white ass into office, and guess what happens? He starts sending them money, and they're paying terrorists again.
Because he's caving to Omar and AOC and Tlaib and Presley, that whole faction. But don't forget, guys, this was the agenda of Obama as well.
Absolutely.
He hated Israel. He hates Netanyahu. He could care less about Israel. And you know what? Hamas has killed more of its own people by using them as human shields than Israeli rockets did.
You can trace this back to Obama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you how. All right, I just talked about the fact that Biden started those payments again. Well, that's what Obama was doing, right? Started paying Hamas and paying the Palestinian Authority so they could pay these terrorists to turn themselves into martyrs, pay those families, right? Well, guess who helped pay for all the rockets that Hamas shot over at Israel? 3,700 plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that plane load of cash, the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that Obama sent over there?
$150 billion, sure.
Who do you think bought a lot of those missiles? Obama did. The Obama-Biden team paid for a lot of those missiles because Hamas is a proxy of Iran. So sending that money to Iran was really, Iran just became the middleman. They turned that money into rockets, gave the rockets to Hamas, and the rockets wind up getting shot at Israel.
Right, and if you want to put it in more simpler terms, get rid of the mullahs in Iran, and the problems in the Middle East will end.
Well, quit sending the mullahs mullah and get rid of the mullahs, and you've ended the problem. You've cut the head off the dog.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, but that's what it comes down to.
Biden will never go after Iran. He kisses the mullahs' butts just like he kisses the Palestinians.
You bet. You bet he does. All right, folks, look, we got here to the top of the hour. Really, you need to go get this link and share it everywhere. People need to understand exactly what's going on, not just on the surface, but behind the scenes, and why this conflict is what it is, and why this ceasefire is not going to hold. You can get all that if you get the link, read it, and share it. A red line
right, and
crossed.
Like I said, there's already problems in Jerusalem going on.
Right. A red line crossed, consequences to pay. You get it either at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. The problems that are going on right now are at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israeli police are being attacked. There's a mini riot going on there, even as we speak. Rocks, Molotov cocktails, riot precautions have been put in place by Israel. That, of course, is irritating the terrorists. It just goes on.
Right. Some ceasefire, right?
Yeah. That's why I call it a lull in the action.
It's a bunch of crap. Israel needs to go in and just take out the garbage.
I agree. Folks, top of the hour, time for a little station ID. When we come back, the final segment of tonight's show, The Great Reparation Revelation. Hang on to your socks. If you're against reparations for slavery, you're going to find this very interesting. If you're in favor of it, your heads are going to explode. Hang on. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen from The National Patriot, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor, getting you through the Friday night edition of the show, and thank you for being a part of it, folks. We appreciate it. If you miss any part of it, just go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning. Get the podcast. Be one of the pod people. All right. So, you know, reparations, right? There's been a lot of talk, especially since Biden got in, because oh, now we can just spend money like it's nothing, you know, and now we can finally drive the wedge in deeper, you know, in racism and all that. So I decided to take a look at this and provide the Great Reparation Revelation. Right? Lately, there's been a good deal of talk amongst the liberal Marxist crowd of paying reparations to the descendants of slaves. Now, I used to think the notion was rubbish, but I've changed my mind. That's me in the photo on the left if you go to the blog. And by all appearances, I'm a white guy, except I'm not. You see, there's also been a lot of prattle in liberal Marxist circles regarding how one identifies oneself. Now, some men identify as women. Some women identify as men. Bruce Jenner identifies as a woman who wants to date women, so I suppose he identifies as a man who likes to make believe he's a woman who's a lesbian. Other people identify as black when they're not. Some people identify as British when they're not, and I believe that both Madonna and Johnny Depp fall into the latter category. I do not have to identify as black because regardless of my appearance, I actually am black and therefore a descendant of slaves. As said descendant, I am therefore entitled to reparations. Now, Diane, before I prove my blackness, I just want to point out that the doling out of reparations for slavery is bound to be tricky, because in most cases it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for people to provide a verifiable, vettable pedigree or provenance to prove relationship status directly tied to actual slaves, as record keeping for said slaves was, in those days, a little bit sketchy.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you got to think of something also very important regarding this. Reparations to pay all this money would take a lot of money. Well, you know, you're not just handing out $100 here and there. They're not going to accept that. They want lots and lots of money. But where is that money going to come from?
Well, it's a good question. You can bet it's going to be taken in the form of taxes to pay such reparations. Clearly, not all Americans were slave owners when slavery was all the thing, and therefore, it seems highly unlikely that non-slave owners' descendants would end up being punished for things their ancestors never did. Of course, if such a reparations tax were to be levied against all Americans, that would include levying such a tax on working black people, who would then essentially be paying for their own reparations, and neither strategy really seems all that fair. All right, so all of that said, allow me to now explain my blackness. It has been said that science has proven that all of humanity wandered out of Africa roughly 2 million years ago. That is a generalization where the timing is concerned, but as luck would have it, my own family has long nurtured a rich history of the spoken story. To that end, I have oft been told, as were my parents, and their parents' parents before them told, the story through countless generations over countless millennia that our ancestors, Australopithecine folks of the best sort, strolled out of Africa 2,485,131 years ago, on a Thursday. We're not talking about cave trash here. By great-great-great-great times whatever to the nth degree, Australopithecine grandmother Tanisha was black. It was hard to tell because she was as hairy as Robin Williams, but I swear she was as black as Oprah. Over millions of years, as my ancestors and yours drifted north and west and to the east, they became less hairy, and they began to lose skin pigment. Now, the scientific theory behind the loss of pigment has something to do with less and less need for such natural protection due to being in areas where the sun wasn't as harsh, and of course, with the intermingling of species. Now, we know, for instance, that ancient humans mated with ancient Neanderthals because Neanderthal women were less hairy, blonde, and apparently horny as hell. Neanderthal men were placed in the scientific subcategory of testiculus immensis. You do the math. Roughly 1,231 years, 3 days, and 14 hours ago, my formerly hairy black ancestors settled in Ireland, Scotland, and England as smooth, pasty people with a lack of cooking skills who wore lots of plaid and no underwear. Your ancestors, Diane, may have ended up in China, or if they lacked the ambition to learn how to eat with chopsticks, perhaps they only got as far as India. The truly ambitious of all of our ancestors made it all the way across the land bridge and settled down in Canada, where they evolved into being overly non-confrontational and borderline French.
Well, you know what? The bottom line in all of this is we all came from Africa, folks. So if one group gets reparations, we should get them too.
Well, regardless of where our ancestors went or how they got there, regardless of how their appearance changed and why, the bottom line is, as Diane said, all of humanity came out of Africa. Yes, I realize there are those out there who believe the world to only be 6,000 years old, and who also believe that all of humanity began as mud. And while they are completely wrong on both counts, even if the mud were part of the facts, it would have been African mud, and it's a good bet that the mythical mud would have been black. Now then, back to reparations. If the idea in the empty heads of your garden variety liberal Marxist is to pay slavery reparations to every American whose ancestors were black, and given the simple fact that there is virtually no way outside of oral history to determine which ancestors of black people in America today were actually slaves, I suggest, since every American alive today is, in fact, descended from black Africans, we are all due reparations. Oh, I can hear liberal Marxist heads exploding. I can just hear them screaming at me, telling me that I'm white, and it's obvious that I don't deserve reparations because I'm white. So, they're wanting to base all this nonsense on the way certain people look? They're wanting this to be a benefit based on what? Skin color? Isn't that as racist as a black-only drinking fountain or a white-only social club? I mean, I'm following the science here. I thought we were supposed to follow the science, right? But I'll tell you what, for the sake of argument, okay, let's go down their racist rabbit hole. Let's say this is all supposed to be based on skin color. I'll be your Huckleberry. Let's take a look at three siblings as our example. Their names are Beverly, Harriet, and Eston. Now, they were three of the four children of a woman named Sally Hemings. You might recognize Sally's name as she was a slave owned by Thomas Jefferson. As adults, Beverly, Harriet, and Eston all moved to one of the northern states, and all three of them lived their lives as whites, because all three, being 7/8 European, clearly looked white, and yet their mother was a black slave. Shouldn't the descendants of Beverly, Harriet, and Eston, obviously being the descendants of a black slave, while just as obviously looking white, be in line to receive slavery reparations? It's a toughie for liberal Marxists. I know. Those descendants are as white-looking as Michael Jackson the last time he fogged a mirror, and yet their ancestor was as black as Tito Jackson. What about the descendants of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis? Oh, yes. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. You see, one of her ancestors was John Vanceslee Degrassi. He was the first black American to formally be educated as a doctor. And what about the descendants of Clark Gable? He had black ancestors, too. Diane, to further add to the liberal Marxist conundrum, what should be done regarding those black Americans who are descended from slaves who themselves could well have been descended from black Africans who rounded them up and sold them to European slave traders? What about them?
Well, what about people who are descendants from black people but came to the United States after slavery ended? Is everything based solely now in our country on the color of someone's skin? That seems kind of ludicrous to me.
Well, it does. I mean, honestly, it's a good question. Do those people that came here after slavery, do they get reparations based solely on skin color? Or are they left out of the mix on something else, since this is supposedly going to be a government-run operation? How is anybody going to know who ultimately is qualified and on what grounds to get bribed to vote Democrat? Of course, you do realize that even while slavery was in practice, there were black people living in this country who were never slaves. What do we do about their descendants? And for that matter, What do we do about the descendants of slaves that were slaves when America was still a British colony and then weren't slaves when we gained our independence? On the off chance I haven't confused the liberal Marxists to the point of seeking a safe space with a bottle of bubbles yet, allow me to just toss in one more that nobody else seems to want to put out there on the table. What about white people who are descendants of white people who fought and died to put an end to slavery in the Civil War? Shouldn't they get compensated for the sacrifice of their ancestors? As you can clearly see, there is just simply too many pitfalls to try and base slavery reparations on any criteria that might require sorting out the actual descendants of actual slaves from those who just don't meet the standard. Basically, the only way to be completely fair in this process is to provide reparations to every man, woman, and child in America today who can scientifically trace their ancestry back to Africa. And since that includes every man, woman, and child on the planet, my white ass is going to be waiting by the mailbox for my reparations check because I never did get my white privilege check.
Oh, dear. It didn't come in the mail, huh? The snail mail?
Damn it, I've been waiting for that thing for years.
The bottom line is, no black American alive today was a slave. No white American alive today owned slaves. This whole reparation thing is nonsense. All it boils down to is appeasing a minority group within the American population in order to get their votes. It's all about votes. If we give them reparations, they will vote Democrat forever.
You know what?
Everything they do is about votes.
Here's the thing. Okay, if Congress really wants to do this reparations thing, and I know there are some that do, okay, they're going to have to prove that the people they're giving money to are actually descendants of slaves, and I don't think there's any way in most cases to actually be able to prove that. But furthermore, how much money do you give them? Because I guarantee you, if you gave each one of them $1 billion, they'd still tell you it's not enough.
Right. It's always gimme, 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 you owe me. Well, you know what? That argument's getting really old.
It's tiresome. I'll give you that.
Right. And folks, you need to know there are many black Americans who have said we will not take one penny for reparations.
Well, but I mean, and
we are talking about a minority within the minority.
You know, we have all made the statement, we've all made the case there are no slaves alive today and nobody alive today was a slave owner. Okay, and it's true, but right. If you boil it right down, I mean, that should be enough to put an end to the nonsense, but it's not. That's why I thought I needed to look at this from a whole different standpoint. You know, everybody on this planet came out of Africa early on.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So if you're going to base this, you know, because somebody is a quote-unquote African-American, we all qualify. All of us.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Whether the Holy Roller type want to believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old, when scientific evidence has proven that man is almost 2 million years old, the fact remains, we all originated from sub-Sahara Africa. That's just a fact.
Folks, I even managed to find a photo of Adam from Africa eating an apple.
Ah, okay.
Do you notice
Although
that?
The Garden of Eden, they say, was around Iran, you know, that area, not Africa.
But they came from Africa?
That's true. That's true.
They got two men in a truck. They moved their fig leaves, their apples, and their snakes, and they all went up there to the Tigris.
Could be.
You know?
Could be.
I mean,
and you know, the fact, you know, the mingling with the Neanderthals, and there's another group of people, the Denovians.
Right. And that you'll find a lot of Denovian genetics and a lot of, you know, the markers of Denovians you'll find in Asians.
Right. Right. We have the mark of Neanderthals. They have the mark of Denovians. Now, here's an interesting scientific fact. And people, if you don't believe me, you can look it up. Okay. All Europeans who came from anywhere in Europe, we all carry Neanderthal genes. The Asian people carry Denovian, and some of them have some Neanderthal genes, but predominantly Denovian. The only people that do not have Neanderthal genes are blacks, except if over the millennia they have intermingled sexually with white, yellow, red, purple, pink, polka-dotted people.
Right.
Pure black Africans whose ancestors never left Africa do not have the Neanderthal gene. And it's the Neanderthal gene that keeps us immune to certain things.
Well, and it's also the Neanderthal gene that is suspected of boosting humanity in several areas, not just natural immunities, but also right. in brain size, comprehension, so on and so forth. Yes. So when you get right down to it, Biden was almost kind of right when he said that Texas throwing open their entire state was Neanderthal thinking. Well, it turns out it was, because it worked.
Well, obviously, he doesn't have any Neanderthal genes. Somehow it skipped his family. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have the other trait either that caused the subcategory. Testiculus immensus. You know?
And that, guys, is your scientific lesson for today. And if you don't believe us, you can Google it.
Yeah, yeah. Google testiculus immensus. See what that comes up. You know, I really ought to do that. I don't know what comes up if you do that. But no, I mean, look, you know, you can scream and yell and piss and moan all you want. You know, we deserve reparations. Actually, you don't. Okay? You were not put out by the slavery of your ancestors. And we're talking about something here that ended 150 years ago, better than 150 years ago. Really had no effect on you.
Correct.
Okay. You were never a slave. Now, if you were, if you can prove that you were held as a slave in the United States, you yourself, then yeah, file a damn lawsuit. You know, but unless you can prove that you yourself were a slave, you know, not only do you have the problem of who's going to get the money, you also have the problem who you're going to get the money from. Because not all white people in the U.S., and in fact, it was a very small percentage of white people in the U.S. were actual slave owners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what gets me really mad about this whole reparation thing? Look, all peoples of all color, all races, all creeds were slaves at one time. All people have moved on from being slaves, except the Democrats have beaten to black people since the Civil War ended that they're owed something.
Yeah. It's getting tiresome.
Yeah. And what about the Irish slaves in this country? What happens to them?
What about them? You know, I mean, they're out of the mix in this.
Their reparations.
Yeah, they're out of the mix in this, right?
What about the Chinese that were slaves?
They're not, you know, black, it's not enough.
Every people were slaves. Every religion has slaves. Everybody has moved on. And you want to know something? If it wasn't for the Democrat Party and the KKK, which was a Democrat organization, black people would have moved on by now. And most have. But you've got that small vocal group that thinks they speak for the whole. But the problem is, the whole doesn't shut up, this small group.
Exactly. Folks, you can get this commentary two places. You can go to thenationalpatriot.com, or you can go to rspradio1.com. The Great Reparation Revelation, you can even see in the blog an actual image of my great-great-great-great times, whatever to the nth degree, Australopithecine grandmother, Tanisha.
Oh, dear. It's funny, guys. That illustration is funny. Kind of looks like Craig. I can see the family resemblance.
That is a photograph of a painting that was, you know, over my family's mantle for eons.
Ah, okay.
You know, we had one where she was directly facing the artist, but it was too weird because the eyes followed you everywhere.
Okay.
That was just too weird. Too weird. But yeah, go grab this, share it everywhere you can. Because I guarantee you, folks, you haven't heard the last of this reparations crap. This is going to keep coming up and coming up.
I'm bringing it up a little bit, very little, but I'm bringing it up in my article for next week on the critical race theory.
There you go.
Which is also a bunch of nonsense.
It is. It is 100%. All right, folks, so you go to Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. Go to my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or get links to both our articles, one handy shopping location, rspradio1.com, because they're all there on the front page. If you missed any part of tonight's show, go to rspradio1.com. Be a pod person. Click the podcast button tomorrow morning. Tonight's show will be there. And yes, just one more quick plug for what we got coming up next week on Friday night. The Pentagon in June is supposed to be releasing some major report regarding UFO phenomenon. Now, what's going to be in that report, what we can expect to be in that report, what we think's going to be in that report, some of the experiences personally that Diane and I have both had in our lives, all going to be part of the conversation on Friday night, beginning at 7 o'clock.
Right. We're going to give you pause to think. And we're not dealing with this subject from a conspiracy angle. But we're going to give you pause to think with some facts you might not know.
It's going to be a very interesting one-hour show, special report. So don't miss it. Tune in for it. And with that, Diane, I think you and I ought to call this one a wrap.
I think so. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday.